Good morning. Welcome to each one. What a blessing to be here this morning already. Appreciate what you shared, Brother Seth. Another verse in John 8. Jesus spake unto them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So as we follow Jesus Christ, he is the light. He is the light of the world. As we follow him, we shall have the light of life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercies that are new every morning. We thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that your word says you will never leave us nor forsake us. And you also promise that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. So, Father, I just commit this morning to you. Commit the service, the message to you. Pray that you would just multiply it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've titled the message this morning, Thirsty for the Living Waters, the Word of God. And it comes out of Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Are we thirsty this morning? Do we desire to come to the living waters? Come to Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Imagine that we will be walking through a desert with our supplies have run out. We have no water to drink. And this goes by day after day after day. And desperation sets in because we're so thirsty. If we don't find water soon, we will die. There'll be no more life left because water is so essential for life. In your desperation, you think you see trees in the before you in the distance, and you run with speed, only to find out that it was disillusion. There was nothing there. Now it's a life or death situation. And if you don't find water soon, you will die. Do we see it that way as far as the Word of God? If we don't come to drink to the waters, to the living waters, we will die. And realize that if we don't drink on a regular basis, we will die spiritually of thirst. God is saying, if you are thirsty, come. Come to the waters. Drink freely. Come to the waters. Not just that, you can buy wine and milk with no money. Exodus 17, we see a situation there as the children of Israel were going through the wilderness. After they have passed through the Red Sea, they have seen God moved. And they have, but they came into a place of desperation. There was no water. Exodus 17, verse 1 through 6. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed through the wilderness of Sin. After the journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rav Hinnom, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirst there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt, to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people, that they are almost ready to stone me? And the Lord said unto him, Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of the Israel, and thy rod, wherein thou smitest the river, take in thy hand and go. Behold, I stand before thee upon the rock of Horeb, And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Again, they were going through the wilderness, and there was no water. And they were desperate, because they recognized that if they don't have water, they will die of thirst. And you were saying, well, you have seen so many miracles. You have seen God come through in a mighty way. Trust Him. So Isaiah 55. Hear, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye what is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ears, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given you for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt be called a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew thee not shall run unto thee, because the Lord thy God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let them return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but waters the earth, and bringeth it forth to birth, that he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word that be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things where I send it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you with singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come out the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come out the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. The invitation is there. Come to the waters. Charles Spurgeon says, my Lord will not sell salvation, but is always ready to give it away to all who humbly ask for it. It's priceless. It cannot be bought with money. Acts 8:18-20, and when Simon saw that the laying on of the apostles' hand that the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone who on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said unto him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gifts of God can be purchased with money. Again, it's free. It cannot be purchased with money. And even if you have no money, you can buy milk. You can buy wine. In verse 2, why do you buy? Why buy or sell or spend money for that doesn't satisfy? The things of this world, the desires of the flesh, and the pleasures of sin for a season. So why do we turn to those things to satisfy us? Because they don't satisfy. In verse 3, incline your ears and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Charles Spurgeon says, salvation comes through the ear by hearing. Revelation says, he that has an ear, let him hear. So, do we have an ear this morning? Are we able to hear? In 55... Verse 4, behold, I have given him, Jesus, for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt be called a nation that knoweth not, and nations that knew thee not shall run unto thee, because the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified thee. Praise God that salvation is free to all. It's not limited to just the Jews, but it's free for whosoever will can come and drink freely. If it wouldn't have been for that, there would be no opportunity for us to be saved. But because of that, God has a plan that it will reach the Gentiles as well. Isaiah 55, 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Seek the Lord while he is found. Now is the day of salvation. Someday it'll be too late. Just like in the days of Noah, when God closed the ark door, either you were in or you were out. There was no middle ground. You knew it. You knew where you stood. You knew where you were. You had made that choice. Just look at Genesis 7. First part of the chapter talks about the Lord said unto Moses, come down and all the house into the ark. For thee I have seen righteous before me in this generation, and also of every clean beast. Take thee by seven. For yet 7 days I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the floods of water came upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wives and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the water of the flood, of clean beasts and beasts that were not clean, of fowls and everything that creepeth upon the earth. They went in two and two unto Moses and unto Noah into the ark, and male and female God has commanded Noah. And it came to pass that after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the self same day entered Noah and Seth and Shem and Ham and Japheth and the sons of Noah and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. And every beast after its kind, and the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in with Noah to the ark, two by two of all flesh, wherein there was the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as the Lord commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. Which the Amplified says, and the Lord shut him in and closed the door round about him. It was the day of salvation had come to a close in that generation. The door of the ark closed, and that was it. And one day, Jesus Christ is coming back for his bride. And as it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be a time that the day of grace will be closed. Isaiah 55, 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. John 10 says, Jesus is the door of the sheepfold. We'll look at that a little bit later. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let them return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What a promise. God wants to abundantly pardon. Not just halfways, not just partial, but abundantly pardon. John the Baptist came 2,000 years ago with a message of repentance, that repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that was a message that John came as a forerunner of Jesus Christ. And in many ways, that message is still true today. Repent. for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God is calling the wicked to forsake. The Webster Dictionary says to forsake is to quit, to leave entirely, to desert, to abandon, to depart from. So it's just a complete forsaking. It's to put away with, to quit, to desert, to abandon, to depart from. And the unrighteous man his thoughts, and not stop there. He doesn't just say that we are to forsake our ways as far as it doesn't just say that the wicked is to forsake his way and unrighteous man his thoughts. It doesn't stop there. But it says, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's thoughts are not the same as our thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his thoughts and ways higher than ours. His thoughts, his ways are not tainted with sin, are not tainted with the world, the flesh. It's not judgmental. They're pure thoughts, they're pure ways, untainted by sin or anything in that nature, but in its pure form. For as the rain cometh down the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but waters the earth, and bringeth forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word go forth out of his mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth unto you with singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. What a joy and peace in the eyes of a new believer when they have submitted their lives to Jesus Christ, when they have repented from their sins, that peace that just shines forth. What a joy that comes forth from that. It said, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth unto you unto singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. I know when I was born again, and all things became new, even creation, and the things that you saw every morning and every evening, the sun rises, the sun sets, it was just like a brand new morning, a brand new sunset. The details that God paints in the skies, it's just like everything was just like brand new, or you saw it through different lens. What peace, what joy. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, that only Jesus Christ can do that. There's many other things in this world that grabs for our attention, that says that they can bring peace, but it's a counterfeit. There is no peace in that. But Jesus Christ, he is our peace. Then instead of the thorns shall come the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be unto the Lord for a name, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, there was a curse. And he's saying that it's going to be reversed. Instead of the thorns, there shall be the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be the Lord for a name, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Instead of a curse comes a blessing. So again, why would we buy or seek for something that doesn't satisfy? Why is the hearts of men bent in that way, to go after the things that don't satisfy anyhow? When I was with the youth, There was weekend after weekend, we'll get involved in many things, in alcohol and many other things. And those things did not satisfy the things of the world. Rather, they brought a depression and a resolve to do better only with the next weekend not having the power to change anything and just get into it worse and worse. But God, He is the one that brings that peace. He is the one that can satisfy. He is the one that says, "Come ye to the waters." Isaiah 44:3 also brings another promise. "For I will pour water on him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. My spirit on your descendants, and my blessings to your offsprings." Not "I might," not "maybe." But he said, "I will pour water on him that is thirsty." The focus here is thirsty. Are we thirsty this morning? Are we thirsty for the living word? Are we thirsty for Jesus Christ? Will we seek him with all our heart, soul, and mind? Psalms 42:1, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God." As a deer is thirsty and longs or goes after the water brooks, so is it with our souls for you, O God. Trust that's our desire. Psalm 63:1-5, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you as in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. For I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips." My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you as in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. May that be our desire here this morning, to thirst for Jesus Christ, to thirst for the living word, to thirst for the manna that came down from, or hunger for the manna, for the bread of life, Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:6, "Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Blessed are we if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, for we shall be filled. John 14:4, "But whosoever drinks of the water," John 14:13-14, which is the backdrop of the Samaritan woman at the well, when Jesus asked, "Give me to drink." Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinks of this water will thirst again." So, as we drink of this water, we shall thirst again. "But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up unto everlasting life." The water that, as we thirst for Jesus Christ, and look to Him. John 6:35, "And Jesus said unto him, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." He is the bread of life. As we come to Him, He will take our hunger away. And as we believe on Him, He will take our thirst away, because He is the one that has life. John 7:37-38, "On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture says, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water." Not just a trickle, not just a drop, but rivers of living water. Out of him shall flow that. Point two is that Jesus is the shepherd and the door to the sheep. Psalms 23, a very familiar chapter. Many of us have memorized that chapter. It's making a declaration. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. So as we recite that, as we read that, is that a truth within our heart, or is that something nice to say? The Lord is my shepherd. To feed, to guide, to shield me, I shall not lack. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters, the still and restful waters. As we follow Jesus Christ, our shepherd, he leads us where he wants us to go. He leads us beside the still and restful waters. He restores my souls. The Amplified says, he refreshes and restores my life. He leads me in the path of righteousness, uprightness, right standing with him, not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. For his name's sake. He leads us in the path of righteousness. I had to think of when I became born again, there were things in my life that because of what I have done or what I have served during my youth years, there was things that I needed to make right. But he led me in that the path of righteousness. He led me in those paths. Even though sometimes it felt a little bit discouraging because I felt like I would take care of the things where he revealed to me. And when that was cleaned up, he would put a finger on, what about this? But he led me through that. He led me through the path of righteousness, in the path of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me, your rod to protect and your staff to guide, they comfort me. Do we look at the rod and the staff as something that we shy away from, or do we embrace it? Because they are to protect, they are to guide, and they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My brimming cup runs over. Surely, and only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. And through the length of my days in the house of the Lord and his presence shall be my dwelling place. Surely, and only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. And through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and his presence shall be my dwelling place. Psalms 91 says, they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, or they that, Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. His presence shall be my dwelling place. Then John 10. Verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not in the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he has put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And strangers will they not follow, but will flee from them, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto him, but they understood not the things that were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be safe. He shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Amplified says, I am the door. Anyone that enters in through me will be saved, will live. He will come in, and he will go out freely, and will find pasture. What a promise. What a place to dwell. What a place to be at. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And point three is Jesus is the Word, which John 1:1-5, also very familiar verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study the Word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Then Hebrews 4:12 says the word is powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. His word is powerful and even sharper than a two-edged sword. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the vision and to the soul and spirit and the joint and marrow and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I did bring this morning. This is not a sword. It's a machete. But imagine this to be sharp on both sides, as sharp as this is. This is really, really sharp. You can feel the sharpness. But if this will be sharp on both sides, and it would cut both ways, like as you go like this, you would cut both ways, it would do a lot of damage. It would cut through the body into the heart. But God is saying, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. This word is sharper than that. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And it refers it to as a sword. Because in Ephesians 6:17, it says that the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, it is the sharpness, the keenness of the Bible that the writer of Hebrew emphasized, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitude of the heart. Another passage where this word is compared to a sword is Ephesians 6:17, which admonishes Christians to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Just as a physical sword can cut through a person's body, so the spiritual sword, the word, can penetrate to the very depths of the human heart. In fact, the word of God is more effective in its cutting power than the most expertly hewn double-edged blade. So the word of God, the word of God that we have in our hands, is more effective than a two-edged sword. It's more effective than cutting. In fact, it's so effective that it doesn't just renews the heart, but it gives you a new heart. It cuts the old heart out and gives you a new heart. That's what the word of God is. What God has revealed is so precise, so accurate, that it makes the minutes of judgment and is able to discern where the soul and spirit begin and end. It even expresses our innermost thoughts and desires. So this sword, it cannot discern or bring to light our thoughts and actions, but the word of God can. It cuts through that. The word of God cuts through even our thoughts. I mean, this can cut many things. It can cut in the eyes, I mean, in the hands of a wicked man, it can do a lot of damage. But the word of God is not that. It's way more than that. It cuts through the heart. It gives you a new heart, a new desires. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Do we see this word as something powerful, as something that changes us, as something that is alive? Do we see Jesus Christ as the living bread, the living waters, something that's alive, that brings us to Himself? May everything that we do and say bring glory and honor to His name. 2 weeks ago, I was at a business seminar where Glenn Eshelman shared his life story, because he's the founder of Sight and Sound. And a couple of things that he brought out that teach very adamantly at Sight and Sound, also his children, is he teaches the 5 D's. One is discover the gift that God has put in you, the thing that happens automatically like cream on milk. So discover that gift that God has given you. Develop it, get good at it. Work on it until you're good at it with passion. Deliver it for the glory of God, like David in at bat 40. He used his sling, shooting stones with his sling until he never missed, then delivered into the stone in the head of the giant. And then determine not to let, number 5, the devil get it. What happens so often is someone discovers it, develops it, and prospers, makes money, and then lets it get sold out to the world, the enemy system, and God gets no glory. It's so sad. Had to think of, I'm going to use this as an illustration. So for you, Josh, God has given you a gift for music, right? When you pick up an instrument, I mean, it just happens like cream rises on milk. I mean, it just happens. And you have developed it. You have gotten good at it. And you have delivered it. You have used it to honor and glorify God. But number 4, determine not to let number 5, the devil get it. Determine that the devil does not take advantage of it and steal the glory that's due to his name. I'm going to use that as an example because I know that God has given you a gift in music. But as each one of us, God has given us a gift that we are to exercise thereby for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. But first and foremost is to have that relationship with Jesus Christ, to drink freely from the river of the river of life, to walk in the light, like Seth says. I keep coming back to 1 John 1. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. As we walk in the light, as we walk in Jesus Christ, there's a promise there that as we walk in the light, as He is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So again, Jesus is the living water, point number one. Point two is Jesus is the shepherd and the door to the sheep. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word. So in closing, I want to look at Revelation 22. I'm just going to read through 17. I'm going to read it in the New King James. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, of each tree bearing its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their forehead. There shall be no night there. There's no need of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Again, like Seth has said this morning, that Jesus is the light. As we walk in him, there's no darkness. So obviously, Jesus is going to be in heaven, so there's going to be no darkness there. It's going to be full of light. Verse 6, and he said unto me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to assure his servants the things that must shortly take place. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And said to me, see thou do it not, for I am your fellow servant, and your brethren the prophets, of those that keep the words of this book, worship God. And he said unto me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. So again, when that door of the ark closed, the time of opportunity closed as well. He that was unjust was still unjust. He that was filthy was still filthy. And that's how it will be in the day of Jesus Christ. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according to his work. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, and they that they may have the way to the tree of life, and may enter into the gates into the city. For without are adults and sorcerers and sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loves and practices a lie. Those are without that cannot get in. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things, to the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. The invitation is there, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him who thirsts, he that is thirsty, come. And whosoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. The invitation is there to come to the rivers, to come to the living waters, the waters that will quench our thirst, the waters that we can drink freely of, and that we shall never thirst again. Different than this water. We drink and we come thirsty again. And one day, like we read about here, one day there will be a new heaven and a new earth. One day, Jesus Christ is coming back. Can you imagine, especially sometimes when I look out over the horizon, see the white clouds in the sky, and wonder, is that how it's going to look like? The clouds are going to split open, and here comes Jesus. What a glorious day that will be. When my Jesus I see, what a glorious day.